Coleman Ray Clark, a Fayetteville native who's worked on and off Broadway on plays, musicals, and other theatrical events, is back in Northwest Arkansas directing a classic musical, Sweeney Todd, by Stephen Sondheim. We're going to talk with Clark about the show and as well as his own career on this week's edition of the Know the News podcast. Coleman, thanks for joining me here on this podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's good to be back here in Arkansas, although it's hot. I'm loving it. I love Northwest Arkansas, so it'll always feel like home to me.
Yeah, it certainly is toasty at time of year. So I want to delve a little bit into your background, but first, let's talk about Sweeney Todd. This is a production of Arts One Presents, and it goes on stage at the Tyson School of Innovation in Springdale the next 2 weekends, starting Thursday, July 20th, right?
That's correct.
I'm sure most people are somewhat familiar with Sweeney Todd, at least, you know, the Johnny Depp version. But for those who aren't so familiar, could you give a brief synopsis of the plot?
Absolutely. So Sweeney Todd is a musical. It's touted as being one of the greatest musicals ever written. Certainly one of the best by Stephen Sondheim, who's known for musicals like Into the Woods and Company and the music for West Side Story. The synopsis, the play starts right in London, England, when a barber who has been exiled for unjustly exiled for crimes he did not commit 15 years ago, returns home seeking vengeance on the judge who exiled him and looking to reconnect with his wife and now 16-year-old daughter, who he hasn't seen that whole time. And he'll do anything that it takes to get what he believes is his. And along the way, he meets a baker by the name of Miss Lovett, who's baking meat pies downstairs from where his old barbershop was. And they team up together to take vengeance on the community until they can get all the way to the judge, is their hope.
As I mentioned, also, this is being put on at the Tyson School of Innovation, but it doesn't mean it's a high school production. Could you tell us about Arts One Presents and the cast that you have?
Absolutely. Arts One Presents is the organization that came after the arts, the old ACO, which you might know from Springdale, has a 50-year-old history. The Arts Center of the Ozarks, putting on plays and musicals for many, many years in downtown Springdale. So Arts One Presents is what has become of that organization. So they do community theater, but as well, they do art projects around Northwest Arkansas. You might have already seen this summer a few of their pop-up fine art exhibits around Northwest Arkansas, and this is their big summer musical. So we have 32 actors from all around Northwest Arkansas involved in the show, about 25 musicians, and with the backstage crew and the designers and everyone working on the show, it's over 100 community members, really from all around Arkansas working on the show. So it's pretty special to be gathering this kind of community on such a big production as Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. How long have you been in working on the play?
Well, it's sort of a hard question to answer. We started talking about Sweeney Todd nearly a year ago and what it would mean in this community. At least that's when I was brought into the conversation. I'm sure Arts One has been talking about it even longer. And then we cast the show, fast forward, we cast the show in late May. We started rehearsals at the beginning of June, and now we're opening July 20th. So we've had about a month and a half of rehearsals. And if you know anything about Sweeney Todd, you might know that it's long. It's about a 3-hour long show, and it's full of character development, plot twist, and there's a lot to pack in, actually, to a 3-hour musical. So it's a lot of material to cover in a month and a half, especially with community members who have day jobs and are coming in the evening to rehearsal with us. They're doing such a terrific job. I have to say, I'm really impressed by the local talent. Each time I come back to Northwest Arkansas, I love getting to see how the community has grown and how the arts in particular continues to grow and be a part of the culture of Northwest Arkansas.
So tell us about how you were drawn into directing this particular show, and why did you want to do it?
Well, here's the tagline that I keep saying. First, when somebody says, do you want to do a Stephen Sondheim musical? In my experience, you just say yes. That pretty much goes across the board. If I were an audience member, I would jump at the opportunity of getting to see a Sondheim musical in person. So that's key. That's number one. I've always wanted to direct Sweeney Todd. And in thinking about it, I've seen the production several times. I saw the Broadway revival that's on right now with Anna Lee Ashford and Josh Groban on Broadway. And in thinking about the production, I go back and think about the original, which looked at London industrialization in the 1800s as a system that we are all still a part of systems today, and how there's systems that we create that are simultaneously crushing us. And it asks the question, are we sometimes doing more harm than good, even if we're trying our best as a community or as a society? So when looking at Sweeney Todd, I started to ask the same question of our community here in Northwest Arkansas and the larger United States. So I'm looking at an approach to the production that I think has never been done before, at least in my knowledge, with giving it a localized spin with all the same music and lyrics and words of the original production, but placing it somewhere that feels more close to home for us, in hopes of humanizing these people, because being a genre piece, it has this sort of old London grime feel. And sometimes that means that we have a harder time connecting with the characters. So it's really my hope out of this production that you can feel the heartache, that you understand the longings, and that although you may or may not choose to go down the route these characters go, you're right there with them and understanding why their stakes are so high at the time and place. So that's my hope. And that's really why I dove into this production, because I've been wanting to explore this material in a new way and sort of reinvent the way that we think about Sweeney Todd. And so in that, it's my hope that if you've seen Sweeney Todd before, you might be coming in with expectations, but you're able to meet it and say anything could happen on this stage. And if you've never seen it, then you'll walk in the same way thinking anything could happen. I really don't know where this is going to go. I think of being in that original audience, if I would have had the chance to see the original production on Broadway, I think people must have been sitting there on the edge of their seats thinking, what is going to happen next? Because it's really that thrilling of material. And I hope that we have the same impact here.
It is a dark show, right? Mm-hmm. I think you said in your interview with our features entertainment editor, Becca Martin Brown, who has a preview on this show coming this weekend, that it is funny in a way. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Absolutely. I think that Sweeney Todd does a really good job capturing all of the facets of our life. So people come in knowing, if you know anything about it, you might know that it's a horror piece or that it's a slasher musical, that sometimes people say that. But it has so much heart and a lot of comedy that intertwines with the sort of shock value or the heartache of the show. In that, it really well represents our life now today, because I think of those moments that are sometimes the hardest to express emotionally with people, the people who kind of break out in comedy as a coping mechanism, where you might want to laugh even though you're seconds away from crying. That's sort of the balance that this show strikes to me, that it keeps us on our toes. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about Sondheim's work, is that he's able to really reflect human life in all of the shades and colors. It doesn't really exist in a binary or a black and white. It's really in the gray where we find the most interest on stage. And this musical does that really well.
You have an interesting background. First of all, how old are you?
I'm 27 years old this September, so almost 27.
Oh, okay. So tell me about yourself as a kid and how you got interested in theater in the first, growing up here in Northwest Arkansas, how'd you get interested in theater?
Absolutely. Well, I come from a family of, let's back up. I guess to say, I don't come from a family of artists, but I come from a family of people who are creative. My dad is a small business owner in Northwest Arkansas. My mom worked at Washington Regional for many, many years. And I have two brothers, both of whom grew up finding music as their outlet and would play guitar and piano and still do today. So our house was sort of always buzzing with some sort of creative energy, although not on theater. I can't pinpoint the exact moment I knew theater was it for me because it was pretty young. But I know that at a young age, I would see things on TV or in movies and recreate them at home as plays. So I would see Indiana Jones and then created an Indiana Jones play of my own outside in my grandparents' backyard. And then I would go to a touring show at the Walton Arts Center and try to recreate it in my own way. So I was sort of instantly struck by theater or theatricality as a medium of getting to communicate live in person. And I think that's why I would take films and TV and then do them in front of other people, because I liked the conversation between the actor and the audience. So when that was going on at home, my parents, I think at some point decided we must get this kid into theater some way so that he stops doing it in our bedroom and instead goes off and gets to do it somewhere else. So I got really involved with Arts Live and Trike and Theater Squared and the Walton Arts Center, and ended up starting a theater company in high school called New Threshold Theater, which was all youth in the area running a theater company for each other, essentially getting to write and direct and design shows that of our choosing, and getting to really collaborate and learn how to create things together. So I did that. I did a lot of shows at Fayetteville High School, and then ended up going to school for it. So it's hard to pinpoint the exact moment for me, because as long as I can remember, I've really always been interested in theater in some way or another, either acting and then into design. And then that's how I ended up in directing, was sort of the perfect fusion between acting and design, and getting to see the vision of each individual artist come together and have a vision for the production, but also get to hold all of the parts with equal importance and foster the people involved. So with such a big production like Sweeney Todd, like I said, there's over 100 people working on the production, I get to really look each of those people in the eye and have a special experience while they're growing and rising to the occasion separately. We're all of a sudden growing together. And I think that's what I love about the community that theater creates, and why I keep coming back.
And you went to school, college in New York City, correct?
I did. I attended the North Carolina School of the Arts, has a conservatory program, a really incredible program, where I went for 1 year and then learned that my style of learning was better suited perhaps for New York City. So I ended up transferring, and I graduated from a school called Marymount Manhattan College in New York. But I mentioned both schools because they're both so important in how I work today. What I got from UNCSA and then Marymount, I wouldn't be the person or theater maker that I am today without both of those. But yes, graduated from Marymount in New York and then have been living there for the past 7 years.
And tell us a little bit about the work that you've done there. Take us through some of those shows that you've done and what are you most proud of, that kind of thing?
Well, I've had a lot of amazing experiences in New York, and so many of them are actually tied back to Northwest Arkansas. So when I first moved to New York, I called up the few people that I knew that lived there. And one of them was Mark Armstrong, who's a director and artistic director in New York City for an organization called the 24 Hour Plays. And like it sounds, they produce plays in 24 hours, brand new plays and musicals written, directed, acted in 24 hours and in front of an audience the next day. So I called Mark up and I said, I'm coming to New York. Do you have anything? I'll work for free. I'll clean your toilets if I can just stay at the organization and be part of it somehow. And so I was an intern the first summer I went to New York. I was an intern at the 24-Hour Plays and really just started to get to meet people in the theater community through Mark and through the organization, because we would do these events on and off Broadway and around the world. And I just really got immersed very quickly in the world of theater, especially sort of downtown theater artists in New York. So I was learning their names, but also getting to see their work and their work in action, and then getting to see their full plays and musicals elsewhere outside of the organization. So I stayed at the 24-Hour Plays for several years, ended up becoming the deputy director, just the right hand to the artistic director, and producing events all throughout the pandemic. One of the sort of crowning moments of my time there was getting to work during the pandemic on a series we called the Viral Monologues, which were a series of monologues produced, written, directed, acted in 24 hours and made available online by actors of TV, film, Broadway. And we were really uniting that community in a time when theater and entertainment in general completely shut down. And we were one of the first organizations to really spring to action. We would call ourselves sort of lightning fast theater makers. And in that way, it was a perfect fit for the pandemic, because when you have no other resource except people and a Zoom screen, all of a sudden you can make theater in this way that had not really been made before. So that was really one of the key moments for me, was getting to be a lead producer on that and ask questions that the theater had never really asked, just trying to do what we knew how to do, but in a new way, and connect with audiences, but in a new way. So I spent most of the pandemic there doing that. And then as Broadway and TV and film came back, I left the 24-Hour Plays to work in a commercial general management office called 101 Productions. They have an amazing history of Broadway and off-Broadway plays and musicals, Tony Award-winning general managers. So I was very lucky to get into that office and basically snag a spot on a team, a long-running team of Dear Evan Hansen, where I was helping basically all of the logistical producing is what a general manager does. So everything from budgeting and contracting and hiring, managing all of the moving parts goes through the general management office. So I was getting to see theater on the largest scale for the first time in a really up close and personal way, and have an impact on that show. So I restarted Dear Evan Hansen when Broadway came back, and was with that company all the way through Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway closing. So I really got to see the cycle of a Broadway show right in front of my eyes. While I was there, worked on several other of their Broadway productions, but I was sort of key in the Dear Evan Hansen team. And then left to freelance direct, because all the while while working at these companies, I was also directing. So I would be taking on directing jobs wherever I could and taking time off of work to direct in the evenings and summers. And because that work had really picked up, gratefully, I've been able to transition into full-time freelance directing. And that has led me back here for Sweeney Todd.
So you're obviously living here temporarily. After the show is done, you go back to New York, or what's next?
So I have an exciting next chapter. My wife was accepted into grad school at the UCSD, University of California, San Diego. So for the next 2.5 years, we'll be kind of bi-coastal, working and living in San Diego and New York. I'm directing SpongeBob, the musical, which is exactly as it sounds, just as fun as you might think, in New York City.
Well, at a bit different from Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, a little different than Sweeney Todd. I know I have back-to-back musicals that really couldn't be more different. So I'm directing that at Marymount Manhattan College, my alma mater, in the fall. And then we'll see. Hopefully getting to enjoy working on both coasts after that and continuing to direct. I'm all about a new challenge. I love getting to try things that feel like firsts for me. And that's really what theater always is. We bring, as theater makers, I think we bring tools with us to each production, but there's always new elements. There's really never a repeat when you're putting a play or a musical together. So I tend to sort of look for the new challenges and see what might be next out of that.
Speaking of challenges, what would you say are the top challenges associated with this particular show, Sweeney Todd?
Well, it's no secret to those who know the musical that it's not done in a community theater setting or really even professionally very often because of how difficult the music itself is. It's some of Sondheim's greatest work, which also means it's some of his most difficult work. So across the board, whether you're a principal lead actor, if you're playing Sweeney Todd, or you're in the ensemble, you've got very difficult material to cover. So that in particular is a challenge, and learning how to work with community members who are on all different spectrums of their theatrical lives and careers, uniting them so that the production feels like one cohesive story, is both the challenge and really the excitement. That's why I would take it, because, I feel that's a real opportunity for us to bring a community together. And the reason to do it, in fact, is to rise to challenges like that. So there's that. There's also all of these small technical moments. I feel like the show is full of fun theatrical moments that you'll walk away from seeing it on your drive home, thinking back to several like big theatrical gestures and maybe discussing them between the car ride, you know, which one stuck with you, what worked the best. And because of that, there's a lot of technical moments to really work out. So we've got dialects and fight choreography and fake blood on stage. I won't ruin it, but fake blood on stage and a lot of moving parts. So even just the logistics of how to do the show as written is, it's a lot to rehearse. So that's certainly a challenge with a show that's this large in scope. It all goes back to having those 100 community members. That's really why we have 100 people working on the show, because it takes about that many just to put this on.
Okay. Speaking as a parent, what is the age limit that you would say is good for an audience member here? I mean, or minimum age, you would say?
It's a great question. We've been telling people that the recommended age is about 14 plus. There's definitely adult themes, and it deals with onstage violence and some adult language, but we trust adults and parents to make that decision on their own. But we've been saying around 14 is the recommended age.
Gotcha. Okay. Good to know. And where can we get tickets?
You can get tickets at artsonepresents.org. They're on sale now. You can pick your seat. We run July 20th through the 30th, just 2 weekends. It sounds like a long time, but it will fly by. If you're like me, you don't know how we're already in the middle of July. So don't miss it. artsonepresents.org.
Coleman, pleasure to talk to you today, and really appreciate you coming on, telling us more about the show and about yourself.
Thanks, Dave. It's wonderful to be here.
For more about Sweeney Todd, catch Becca Martin Brown's story in our What's Up section this Sunday. Of course, we've got a lot more stories coming this weekend, and I want to give you a preview of some of that content. The city of Fayetteville has a request for proposals up, seeking some kind of creative housing affordability project using American Rescue Plan money. Each council member has their own idea of what they want to see. Stacey Ryburn will have that story for us. The number of people flying out of the Northwest Arkansas National Airport continued at a record pace since June, something that will have airport officials taking a second look at the timelines for several major projects, Ron Wood reports. One of Ben Mills' most popular restaurants is about to get a little bigger. That's right, I'm talking about the Chick-fil-A on Walton Boulevard. Mike Jones will explain the restaurant's plan that the city's planning commission is expected to consider next week. And the Springdale School District just bought a house, which the superintendent says it will provide to a staff member who's searching for a home in the area. Reporter Al Gaspany reports on that and what other school districts in the area are doing to address Northwest Arkansas's affordable housing situation, which impacts districts' ability to hire the best candidates for jobs. From the River Valley, Thomas Asente tells us the latest happening with the Crawford County Library Board, which recently discussed changing various things, including the placement of materials in each branch library to bring the county library system into compliance with Arkansas Act 372. Also, Monica Brick will have a story about the newest member of the Fort Smith School Board appointed earlier this week. And in What's Up this Sunday, besides Sweeney Todd, read about the last production, a raucous musical farce, before Arkansas Public Theater goes dark for remodeling. See the Sona season for 2023-24 and make your plans for chamber music on the mountain. Also, don't forget Ben Collins has his Let's Eat column each Friday, where he brings us the latest on restaurant news from Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. All of this and more will be available to our subscribers on our tablet and smartphone apps and at our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com. To those of you who are already our subscribers, thank you for your support of local journalism. I hope you'll consider subscribing if you don't already. We even have a special offer for our podcast listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. You can also click on the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or call us at 479-684-5509. Know the News is a weekly podcast brought to you by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Thanks, as always, for listening. Again, I am Dave Porozik, your podcast host this week. Have a great weekend, and until next Friday, so long.